Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't think Restart Eve has the same ring to it as Christmas Eve. Thanksgiving Eve, it's not really a thing, but I use it. But it is the eve of the NBA restart. And to that end, NBA TV is replaying a game between the Clippers and the Lakers from way back, much earlier in the year, much earlier in the NBA season. But we're here. We made it, you guys. And I know the NHL will follow soon. I asked you about 2 weeks ago, just give me 15 days. Give me 15 days. Baseball, basketball, and hockey will all be back. And we're there. The NBA has been extremely successful with its bubble. There have been no positive coronavirus tests for 2 weeks now. The NHL is in the same boat. Since they've sequestered in their two hub cities, Edmonton and Toronto, there have been zero positive tests. This bubble thing, it's kind of working out, huh? Maybe that's why Lamar Jackson has decided he is the new bubble boy. That's his phrase, not mine. So it's on. We're right here knocking on the door of the NBA restart. We'll preview a little bit. We'll let you hear from some of the Lakers and the Jazz inside the bubble. Zion Williamson, he is hoping that he will be in the starting lineup for the Pelicans when they tip off on Thursday. I'm a lot more excited now that we're close. Like you, I've been cautiously optimistic. Well, others of you have been downright pessimistic, but I've been cautiously optimistic. Not wanting to get too excited for fear of a letdown. But it's on, and they're good, and they're going to go out there and play. And it may not be anything that we've seen before. The intensity might be different. I don't know. Something tells me when there is a trophy on the line, when these guys go toe-to-toe, they're going to amp up the intensity themselves, especially when you consider the teams that are vying for a title and the players that are vying for a title. So really excited about baseball's start. I know a lot of you were excited and yammering away about the NHL exhibitions. And so that's coming very quickly too. They'll drop the puck on the Stanley Cup playoffs starting Saturday, which is awesome. I can't wait till Sunday night show when we have hockey, hoops, baseball, and we're also adding into the mix NFL training camps. Now, they aren't quite to the point where they're doing full squad workouts because these guys have to go through three negative virus tests before they're allowed to be around their teammates, before they're allowed to be in the facilities, before they're allowed to work out as a group. And so that's what's happening right now for a lot of the veterans because they weren't required to report until Tuesday. But on Wednesday, it was pretty cool to hear Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, talking about Joe Burrow potentially being the starter for the Bengals. Lamar Jackson is actually campaigning for Antonio Brown, which is interesting. You'll hear him yourself. Sam Darnold weighing in on the Jamal Adams mess and also on being smart. Now remember, Sam Darnold, who missed, was it four games last year? There was a bye in there as well that Sam Darnold ended up missing because of the mono. There was actually a player on the basketball team that I worked with last year who had mono too. So a lot of times college athletes will get it because they're completely strung out with not just their practices and their games and their travel, but also with their academics. But here's Sam Darnold, who just turned 23, and he is the one who is preaching an abundance of caution. You may have heard that there are teams around the NFL that are considering putting one of their quarterbacks in total quarantine for the season. Could you imagine? In fact, not letting that quarterback see his family. I assume that QB would have to agree to it. Not necessarily the starter, but having one guy that you know is not going to get the virus because he's around no one else. So your first string QB would be really difficult, obviously. So we're talking more about, say, a third string guy who is going to be isolated, encased in glass, because they need to know for sure there's a quarterback available if something goes wrong. So all kinds of plans and procedures and protocols, PPP, not PPE, all of that is in play as the NFL gets to training camp. So there's a lot to do. I'm really excited about the fact that there's drama everywhere you look. Drama on the diamond. We'll probably have to start there with the mush on Joe Kelly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's our fourth show of the work week. We're not that far from what will be a busy sports weekend. And I hope a fun summer weekend for you. Believe it or not, Friday is the last day of July. What? What? No! What? That's crazy. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In the question that I'm going to throw out to you, you're going to want to use the phone number. I know it. So let's get ready. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I'll just be honest about this. I hardly ever throw out a question like the one I have prepared for tonight. I'm not big into rankings. I'm not big into top fives, top tens, but this is different. So the type of question I rarely ask on the show, you'll hear that tonight. And if you didn't see on Twitter, and I know a lot of you are not on Twitter or paying attention to Twitter, but let's see, 90 minutes ago, I kid you not, 90 minutes ago, I hung up the phone after an extensive conversation with longtime college football coach Tommy Bowden, of course, the son of Bobby Bowden. But Tommy, I called him coach, Tommy coached at Clemson for quite a while, and Dabo Swinney was on his staff there at Clemson. Now, we originally scheduled him to talk about the ACC, its big announcement on Wednesday. They have planned 11 game schedules. So the 10 conference games plus one non-conference. Notre Dame is eligible for the ACC championship. So they're making changes, but they're also leaving themselves some flexibility. So I talked to Coach about the ACC, about Clemson, about why college football is such a lifeblood for so many communities around the country. And I asked about his dad. Wait till you hear what he has to say about his parents. Really good stuff. You're going to love this. And I just talked to him. He said, well, I asked him, is this past your bedtime? Because he lives in Florida. And he said, it is. It's about an hour past my bedtime. But he said, what else do I have to do during quarantine? And then at the end of our conversation, after we had finished recording and talking football, I said, Coach, I really appreciate you staying up late for us. And he said, I'll be asleep in 7 minutes. Yeah, he was not going to be losing any sleep over our interview, but I'm so glad we had a chance to catch up with him. I think it might be the first, well, maybe my previous network I spoke to him, but it's been a long time. He did some media after he left coaching, but he has such an extensive resume, and it was awesome to talk to him. So, Coach Tommy Bowden, next hour here on the show, and then, of course, it'll be available on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. I've been weighing in my brain what is more pressing. What should be the lead from the Dodgers-Astros series? Should it be that the Dodgers and Astros played another game on Wednesday night. This one went into the 13th inning. I'll just be honest, I didn't even think that was possible with these funny rules now where there's automatically a runner in scoring position when you get to extra innings. This is a really well-pitched game. It was a lot of fun to watch. I did both. I watched and I listened. The Dodgers used just about every pitcher they had available, but they had a lot of guys available. So their starter only goes into the fourth inning, and then it's boom, 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 boom. A bunch of different scenarios, a bunch of different relievers trying to play the matchup game, and they held their ground. So they get into extra innings, and they had both teams had multiple scoring options, multiple scoring opportunities, I should say. They both score in the 11th. In fact, with Mookie Betts, he ends up with an RBI, a two-out RBI, his third of the year. But the Astros answered in the bottom of the 11th, Carlos Correa. They played into the 13th. So I'm trying to figure out if that's the bigger story on the heels of what happened Tuesday, or is it the fact that Joe Kelly is not apologetic even a little bit? Well, the story is that he got suspended 8 games, that there were a bunch of fines handed out. Dave Roberts had to sit on the bench, I should say. Well, not the bench. He had to be on the shelf for this game because he got suspended for a game. And this is all because of the benches clearing conversation that happened on Tuesday night. The Joe Kelly pitches, the taunting of Carlos Correa. So I go back and forth between what's the bigger story. We had a game going to the 13th inning, and it was these two teams with so much tension and intensity, or is it the fact that we are all Joe Kelly? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Side note, we have a big station in Houston, and we have a lot of listeners in Houston. I got some nasty social media posts from people in Houston over the last 24 hours. Whatever, I don't care. You still get to keep your 2017 World Series, so stick it where the sun don't shine. All right, let's start with the action on the field, and then we'll get to some of the others. Dave Roberts, he was busy, even though he wasn't managing. He was actually a guest on the Jim Rome Show on Wednesday on CBS Sports Radio. Some funny stuff with him and Jim, and they go back. I mean, Dave has done a lot of interviews with him, and so he's comfortable with him. Into the 13th inning in an empty Minute Maid Park, Dodgers at the plate.
Tied at 2, beginning the 13th. Now the pitch. Fly ball to right field. It's deep. It's on its way, and it is gone. A home run. Edwin Rios, a 2-run shot. And the Dodgers take a 4-2 lead.
Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers radio network. I know, it's kind of burying the lead. This is more the hors d'oeuvre. And so Edwin Rios smokes a ball. And because there's already a runner on second, then Kike Hernandez scores. The runner they put on second is the one who made the last out the inning before. It's so little league. So little league. And it takes some getting used to. And I understand they're trying to create scoring opportunities. But honestly, it feels like they're tinkering with the game. And Michael Brantley of the Astros had his reaction following the loss.
It's definitely different. A lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, strategies come involved really quick. Playing a certain way your whole life to now automatically a guy's in a second. It's going to be a little bit of adjustment. But we got to make a better job of getting that runner in. I mean, obviously that's the most important thing is to win a baseball game any way you can. And that's what we need to do.
Final numbers on the Astros with runners in scoring position, 3 of 19. 3 of 19, and they left 15 runners on base. So they did score in the 11th, but in the 10th, the 12th, and the 13th, they left at least one runner on base. So not a night in which the Astros were clutch. The Dodgers end up winning the second game in a row from the Astros at Minute Maid Park. And I know it's not a World Series, but I'm sure it felt good. And in fact, that's what Dave Roberts was talking about. One of the things he was talking about with Jim Rome on Wednesday, about the game on Tuesday is that this actually wasn't just another game. He could feel it with his guys, much as he tried to de-emphasize it.
It's all different. It's all different. And, I try to preach and you know, talk about every game is of the same importance, and you've got to have that same psyche and mindset. And I really do believe that. But understanding who the opponent was, you know, what transpired in November, December, what kind of came out, and then following that, all the banter back and forth in the media from players, and then ultimately the penalty that was handed down, rightfully so, and then you come back to essentially the scene of the crime. And, you know, so when we got to the ballpark, it was different. It wasn't the jovial, the music blared. It was kind of a quiet, calm focus, and we took that into the game. And obviously you get to the game, and then the incident with Joe Kelly, and things kind of escalated a little bit more.
Did you catch what he said about Houston? We got back to the scene of the crime, Minute Maid Park in Houston. So he said it wasn't just another game. It was very tense. The players were tense. We could feel that. Everything that went back and forth in the media. And we, of course, had the back and forth, the he said, he said, he said, he said, the buzzers, the Bellinger, the reaction from Correa, Bregman. I mean, all of that. That was the story in sports before coronavirus, before everything shut down in mid-March. That was the story every single day. There were shots fired over the wall, not to mention what the fans had planned for the Astros this season. And so Dave Roberts, without missing a beat on the Jim Rome Show Wednesday on CBS Sports Radio, says we got back to the scene of the crime, referring to the ballpark in Houston. I'm sorry, that is funny. It's about as funny as Joe Kelly making faces when he's walking off the mound, even though he wasn't even part of the team in 17. Yeah, if you haven't seen Joe Kelly's Instagram post, his, I'm going to use my air quotations, apology on Instagram, he is appealing his suspension. I don't know if it will be reduced. We'll talk about that coming up. Dave Roberts was explicitly asked by Jim Rome, was Kelly throwing intentionally at the Astros on Tuesday? So you'll hear that, but I'm going to have Dave go ahead and find Joe Kelly's Instagram post. He's got kids in his lap. That's all I'm going to say. So find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also, we'll put it up on our Facebook page, and we'll talk about the ramifications from Tuesday's not socially distant brouhaha. Thanks for joining us. We're just getting started. A lot to do tonight. This is pretty cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The 3-0. And that's over Bregman's head and goes to the backstop. A 96-mile-an-hour fastball that was closer to the letters on the back of Bregman's jersey than it was to home plate.
I'll tell you. You know, I see some baseball, and that looked intentional to me.
Me too.
You know, a lot of times you can just tell by where a pitcher's eyes are going.
All righty.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. That'll get some attention.
The kick and the pitch. And that's over the head of Correa and goes to the backstop. Both runners will advance. It was a breaking ball that was behind Correa. And head high, and a wild pitch moves 2 men into scoring position.
Correa looking back at Joe Kelly, but as you described, it was a breaking pitch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love those calls on the Astros radio network. Alrighty, says Robert Ford, and then Steve Sparks, who's the former big league pitcher himself, trying to break it down more analytically. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Because of those two pitches, as well as the taunting of Joe Kelly as he walked off the field toward his dugout, which then sparked a benches clearing conversation. In fact, Dusty Baker says he got fined because his guys were on the field because it's not allowed anymore with the coronavirus. So that's why he got fined, he said. He was told it was because of the coronavirus and the guys being out there when they weren't supposed to be. Anyway, Joe Kelly gets an 8-game suspension from Major League Baseball. An 8-game suspension? It's more than 10% of the season, for heaven's sakes. But he is appealing. And Dave Roberts the manager of the Dodgers chose to serve his one-game suspension for Wednesday night's game. I mean, 8 games? And the Astros, who cheated all during 2017, served no games? Come on. That in and of itself is like a smack in the face. Either way, Joe Kelly loves to instigate. He was not part of that 2017 World Series loss for the Dodgers. If you have not seen his Instagram post, we told Dave to find it and put it up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and he'll put it up on our Facebook page too. Let me just say it like this. Kelly is not apologetic. He has got cutout photos. I mean, it's photoshopped, but they're little cutout kids sitting on his lap. Well, they've got adult faces on them, but they're kids' bodies. Or little people's bodies. And they are Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa. He's holding them in his lap. Do you remember that whole thing when Pedro Martinez got shelled by the Yankees 1 year and said, tip my cap to them. All I can do is tip my cap to them and call them my daddy. And then there were a whole bunch of these funny photoshopped pictures where Pedro Martinez, a little Pedro Martinez, was sitting on the lap of the Yankees. Actually, I was in that press conference when Pedro said, got to tip my cap to them and call them my daddy. Anyway, that was one of the funniest moments of my, it was shocking to hear in person, but it's also funny to be there. Anyway, Joe Kelly is appealing, so he was available for the game on Wednesday night. He did not pitch, only because I think more workload than anything else. And we'll see whether or not baseball reduces that suspension, but it's a little bit ironic that he might end up serving 8 games where none of the Astros served any. Sure, that was the agreement with Major League Baseball when they did their interviews as part of the investigation. They were granted full immunity, but come on. If there's ever a time when I feel like baseball needed to be a little more lenient, maybe potentially look the other way, this might have been it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. So Joe Kelly expresses himself in an Instagram post. Dave Roberts was a guest on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. And Jim asked him directly, was Joe Kelly throwing at Bregman and Correa on purpose?
I'm going to say no. And I think that Joe echoed that sentiment last night in his post game. So, you know, we've all seen the video of him warming up and breaking his own window in his house. So I don't know. I'm going to stick to my story.
I'm going to say no. And then he references that video that we talked about on last night's show that we've shown you before where Joe Kelly breaks a window of his own house because his breaking ball gets away from him. As for Kelly's part, he didn't say no definitively when he was asked if he was throwing at Bregman and Correa intentionally. This was after Tuesday night's game, and you wouldn't expect him to say yes or cop to it. What he said was, my accuracy isn't the best. Dave Roberts cites that as well. So here's my question. This is just a random question, not necessarily our show question. Do you believe that Joe Kelly did this on his own? That there was no conversation about it whatsoever, but that Joe Kelly took matters into his own hands for a group of guys that he wasn't even playing with in 17. In fact, he was on the 18 Red Sox that won the World Series and were also investigated for cheating, though the commissioner's report indicated that there was no cheating in the postseason. So here's Dave Roberts calling it the scene of the crime and saying it wasn't just another game. He admits it. He said there was more tension. We could feel it. We returned to the scene of the crime in Houston. You know there are guys in that Dodgers lineup who want desperately to get back at the Astros because they feel like the 2017 World Series is tarnished. It's tainted, even if the Astros would have still won. And remember how close that series was. Do you guys remember? It's one of the best series I've ever seen. And I don't feel the same about it anymore. It was so incredible. And was it game five that went 5.5 hours or something like that? 5.5, maybe six, close to 6 hours. It was a Sunday night and we were here in studio and it was still going on while we were starting our show. It was phenomenal. I love that series. But now it feels different to me. So if you are a baseball fan out there and you're thinking about this situation, do you believe that Joe Kelly acted of his own accord or that there was some discussion with his teammates, his current teammates? All right, so again, he joined them in 19. He was with the Red Sox in 18, well, and 17 as well. So he was with the Red Sox when the Astros won the World Series. I don't know that I believe that he was flying solo here. I don't know that I believe he took it upon himself. However, his nickname in Boston was Machine Gun Kelly because he's a little bit crazy, if you know what I'm saying. So check out on our show Twitter his Instagram post. He's not sorry. And you, I guess you can tell me if you think this would have been on his own. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bob Uecker, big baseball fan, joining us now at the bottom of the hour. Bob, what do you think? Do you think Joe Kelly acted all by his lonesome and nobody else knew anything about what he was doing?
I think, Amy, he is very capable of doing this on his own. I'm not saying there wasn't some discussion maybe between him and whomever, but I think if there's one guy who's capable of going out there and being the the hired
instigator.
Gun,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, on his own, and I think what tips you off to that, again, just anecdotally, when he told Correa, nice swing, blank.
Yeah.
It
rhymes with itch.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's indicative of what he's like. You know, he's the kind of guy who goes out there, you just said it, Machine Gun Kelly, and he doesn't care. And this is the one guy who's capable of perhaps acting on his own. I'm not saying he did, but I think if there's one guy who could have, he's the man.
So just before I let you do your update here, because I'm assuming you're not going to read this in your update, this is part of his Instagram post. Hey, guys, with the suspension I received from baseball for my actions on Tuesday, I'd like to apologize, ... in all capital letters, to absolutely nobody. He says, just wait till I get out. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, Bob? Is that a threat?
I have no idea.
My gosh, he's crazy.
He really is. After we spoke last night, I went back and I watched that the replay of that fight between
the fight
between the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yes.
I mean, he nailed Tyler Austin in the back.
Yeah,
he's
nuts.
And then he stood his ground. I mean, he got buried on the pile. The other thing that I was laughing at when I watched that again on YouTube, Aaron Judge gets involved in that fight,
right?
And he literally by himself like moves a pile of 12 guys. If I'm on the Red Sox or if I'm on any team and Aaron Judge is coming from the other direction, I'm getting out of there.
Although I don't think Joe Kelly backs down.
No.
Some of his hashtags on this Instagram post, Joe Kelly Fight Club, Crybaby Correa, wait, it gets better, Houston Ass Clowns, and then at the very bottom of his post, Correa sucks, Altuve sucks, Bregman sucks. Now, I'm trying to think back. Did he have some history with them when he was with the Red Sox? I mean, I know they obviously had some series, but I'm trying to remember if there was something else going on here. Otherwise, I just can't imagine that he did this all by himself, considering that he's not been a Dodger. Well, he's been a Dodger for a year plus now, but still, it's a little...
Yeah, I'm not certain
it's
of that,
of vitriol,
but boy, you're
on
to something. There has to be something a little deeper than him just showing up in a Dodgers uniform and looking to exact revenge here.
Houston Ass Clowns. What is that? He's a mess. Anyway, I just say, like, for at least a couple of hours, we are all Joe Kelly. Come on. I think a lot of us, if we could give Houston a piece of our minds, it would be something along those lines.
he has a lot of people in his corner.
Yeah,
right now.
He definitely does. All right, good to talk to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There's a long drive, and you can forget about this one. Off into the night, headed for San Francisco Bay. This ball game is over, and Yastrzemski with a spectacular shot into the water. 7-6, the Giants have won it. And what an explosion that was. That was a tape measure shot, a Willie McCovey kind of a home run into Willie McCovey's Cove. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Awesome moment for the San Francisco Giants, who pull back to 500 at 3-3. But how about Yastrzemski, as in Mike Yastrzemski, leadoff hitter for the Giants, goes 3-for-5 with that walk-off home run, a couple of RBI, and a fantastic call from one John Miller on the Giants radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot to talk about from baseball. One more Marlin has tested positive for the coronavirus. Again, they're still working on care and trying to get those guys healthy and back on the field. Hopefully by Monday, the Yankees return to the field in their schedule flex. You know, we use that term for football all the time. It's flex scheduling in the NFL. Well, this is flex scheduling for Major League Baseball, playing a series against the Baltimore Orioles. And they had a couple of home runs, including Aaron Judge, his first of the year. The Nationals get a fantastic performance from Max Scherzer. He gives up 0 runs into the 8th inning and strikes out 10. And I don't think he got the win, though. They end up getting the run support later in the game. So some good stuff from Major League Baseball. A lot of drama on and off the diamond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Coming up at the top of the hour, my conversation with longtime Clemson football coach Tommy Bowden. But he made the rounds in football. He coached Tulane. He coached in Tuscaloosa. He coached at Duke. There are a lot of different stops on his resume. And we wanted to ask him his reaction to the ACC determining that there would be an 11-game schedule, at least for now. They'll do 10 conference games, 1 non-conference game. They plan to start their season in mid-September, so a little bit later than what they normally would. Week 0 is actually the last week in August, the last weekend in August. And so he had great insight, not just about the ACC and what this means for the conference, as each conference makes its own decisions, but also about a fall without college football, a fall devoid of college football, and what that would mean for a lot of these places around the country where football is the lifeblood. In addition to that, I did ask him about his dad, and wait till you hear his answer about Bobby Bowden, a beloved coach by so many. So that's coming up again, top of the hour here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got plenty of QB news tonight that we'll get to as we move through the show. But here's the question I'm throwing out for you that I rarely ask, this type of question. You know me. I'm not big into rankings. I'm not big into who's the best. I'm not big into top five, unless it's food. But I feel like so often, what do sports fans want to do? We want to rank things. Well, this one's different. The NFL, via NFL Network, has released over the past few days its top 100 players of 2020. Why is this one different? Well, it's players who cast the vote. And so this is the top 10. Well, it's the top 100. We're going to talk about top 10. The top 10 according to your peers, which to me is a whole different ballgame. It's not that I don't care what media people think. It's not that I don't care what you fans think. But we have an opinion that's different than the one that comes from inside the football fraternity. And so the NFL players cast their vote to identify the best in the league before this 2020 season. And they went and started the countdown on Sunday on NFL Network, and they unveiled the top 10 on Wednesday. Here's the top 10. This is according to the NFL players, not according to me, not according to you, though I do want your reaction. At number 10, Derrick Henry. At number 10, Derrick Henry. At number 9, Stephon Gilmore, Patriots cornerback. I'm sure you all know who Derrick Henry is, but Titans running back who had the incredible late season surge and then, of course, is the main catalyst behind getting the Titans into the AFC Championship, his first Pro Bowl trip. So Derrick Henry, 10, Stephon Gilmore, all that experience, led the NFL with 20 passes defended, and also had 6 interceptions. According to his peers, he's the 9th best player in the NFL going into 2020. Number 8, this sounds so weird, Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Stunning move still. I can't quite wrap my brain around it. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm still mad. I may never get over it. But Hopkins is now a member of the Cardinals. 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, 3 consecutive campaigns of 100 catches at least. So DeAndre Hopkins, number 8, according to NFL players. How about this? George Kittle, highest spot ever for a tight end from the Niners, number 7. He actually surpassed Gronk, who was previously the highest rated tight end going back to number 9 in 2016. Number 7 for George Kittle. Moving on up. Number 6, Christian McCaffrey. Number 6. Christian McCaffrey. But here's the funny thing for Christian. Not only did he get the massive contract extension, he also jumped 36 spots from the 2019 rankings to the 2020 rankings. His third 1,000 season in NFL history, meaning over 1,000 yards rushing, over 1,000 yards receiving. And 2,392 yards from scrimmage, third highest total in NFL history. And he's only number 6. Christian McCaffrey moving into the top 5. Again, according to their peers, Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver. A single season, 149 catches with New Orleans last season. He is at number 5. Boy, was he fun to watch on national TV when they had the games Sunday night, Thursday night. This one's crazy. This is crazy, you guys. Number 4, Patrick Mahomes. Number 4, Patrick Mahomes. So, the Super Bowl MVP, the 2019 NFL MVP is number 4, according to his peers. Interesting. He's also potentially going to be a $500 million man. Number 3 on the NFL Network list of top 10 players. Thank you, voice God. Top 10 players in the league, according to their peers, Aaron Donald, Rams defensive end. 72 sacks already in his first 6 years. He is a wrecking ball, a solo wrecking ball. It's crazy. It's crazy that he's ahead of Patrick Mahomes, though, but that's interesting, right? This is how the players think. How about number 2? Now, this one surprises me. It's not that I don't think he is an incredible quarterback, and he had a phenomenal season. In fact, he was a candidate for MVP as well. Seahawks QB Russell Wilson is number 2, according to his peers.
Number 2.
Even though he was sacked 48 times last season, he's now up to 128 starts consecutive in his career. 4th quarterback in NFL history with 30 or more touchdown passes and 5 or fewer interceptions. So he had 31-5 last season. Also 3rd straight Pro Bowl. So Russell Wilson, according to his peers, number 2 best player in the NFL heading into 2020. And debuting at number 1 on the list. So he's never been on the list before. The reigning NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Number one,
underscored by the voice God. He had fewer yards passing than Mitch Trubisky, but he obviously had 1,000 yards rushing, first player to go 3,000 yards through the air, 1,000 yards on the ground, led the NFL with 36 touchdown throws. The reigning NFL MVP is number one. So you do have Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, three of the top four who are quarterbacks. But there are no more quarterbacks in the top 10. What do you think of them apples? So again, this is a question I rarely ask, but I want to know. We've got some time tonight. It'll be kind of fun. Who would you take out of the top 10? Who do you think is woefully misrepresented by not being in the top 10? Do you know who number 11 is? Chris, do you want to guess who number 11 is?
Going to say Aaron Rodgers.
Number 11 is, in fact, Aaron Rodgers. Khalil Mack's in the second top 10. Nick Bosa is in that second group. Actually, no, I take that back. Aaron Rodgers is not 11. I thought I read that he was 11. I totally lied. Who is 11? Oh, it's Julio. Julio's 11. I would have had Julio in the top 10. I lied.
Also number 11?
Yes. Aaron Rodgers is in the second tier, though. He's number 16. I thought he was 11. There goes the perfect show. But yeah, in the next 10, you have Khalil Mack. You have Deshaun Watson. You have Aaron Rodgers at number 16. You have, this is according to NFL players, Chandler Jones is in there. Tom Brady is 14. Three times he's been number one on the list. But he's in the second 10 this year. Drew Brees is number 12. Julio Jones is number 11. I love Julio. So who deserves to be in the top 10 that isn't there? Who is in the top 10 that you think shouldn't be there? Or you disagree with NFL players? Isn't that a cool ranking system where the players vote? I love it. And I think they love it, too. You've seen a lot of traffic on social media about it. So you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS. We did put up a poll about Joe Kelly flying solo or Joe Kelly acting with the support of his Dodgers teammates. And then also our phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Who deserves to be in the top 10? Who has no business being in the top 10? Where are the, I don't want to call them mistakes because these are only opinions and these came from NFL players. But which guys do you think are absent and you're stunned by that or you can't believe it? I'm kind of hung up on the Patrick Mahomes being number four. That's cray. But I like it. I like these kinds of opinion pieces that we can argue over. Straight ahead, my conversation with a longtime college football coach, Tommy Bowden. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.